Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Yeah. Instigator! Instigator! He's trying to instigate!
That's right.
It doesn't matter. All teachers are going to be replaced by robots anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
Actually, if I believe in America, teachers will be replaced with nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's what they want. No, they've
perfection
in Illinois. They've tried to do that. The home-based computerized education systems. You know, where you just take your laptop home and you do all your work at home.
Mm-hmm.
A couple schools have tried that. It's failed horribly. Like, there's like
I would have done great with that.
But it's the same thing. It's like the people that would do well
can already do it.
Exactly.
I wish I had known that was an option when I was in school, because I would have done that.
Yeah. I mean, there wouldn't have been an option for me at that point. Like, the internet was
that same. Like, I didn't have that.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is that you have all of these kids who are doing it, and it's like, why are these kids doing this? Oh, it's because they can't function in the general school because they're discipline problems, and, you know, they have attendance problems and all this stuff. So what makes you think that they're going to do anything at home?
I went to that school because my school didn't
want
to deal with me.
Yeah.
Hey, you did it.
Yay!
I should have made myself a more of a troublemaker, I guess.
Yeah. I was a good kid. I like school, though.
I fucking hated school. I fucking hated it. I hated the kids. I hated the teachers. I fucking hated everything about it.
You just didn't find that one teacher to connect with. The one guy to take you under his wing.
The teacher I remember was hilarious. His name was Mr. Grumbles.
Grumbles?
Yeah. And I was like, man, the fucking dude's name is Grumbles. And he looked like his name was Mr. Grumbles.
The majority of my teachers I liked. There was one teacher that I absolutely hated because she was just like, she thought her shit didn't stink.
My AP English class teacher was the worst. She was like, man, wow. That was fucking terrible.
I outright didn't even, I didn't take AP English, which was a big to-do at my school, because I was like in the, you know, I was not top 10 of the school. And they're like, how come you're not taking AP English? You get an A's in all your English classes. I'm like, I don't like the teacher. I wanted to go with Mr. Flanders. He's a really good English
Flanders.
Teacher. His name was, yeah. But I was like, he's really good, and he makes the English come alive for me. This other teacher's terrible. But I remember one of my teachers that I always, for some odd reason, I always remember him is Mr. Pizzolas, because he looked just like Super Mario. Just like, he was like this little Italian looking guy with a mustache.
It's a me, Mr. Pizzolas.
Oh my God. And he hated that comparison. And now as a teacher myself, like, there'll be like a character in a TV show or a movie that looks like me, and the kids will call me that, and it's like, it drives me absolutely up the wall. So I feel so bad for Mr. Pizzolas, because I'm like, I understand, Mr. Pizzolas, I understand.
Well, that's his fault for looking like Mario. He should have shaved his mustache.
No, not that mighty mustache. I wouldn't have shaved that mustache for all the name calling in the world. That was a sign of machismo.
I see.
Yeah. And there was I had another teacher, a biology teacher, who I can't remember his name. I kind of remember it every once in a while, but he looked just like Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird. So I'm like, oh man, he was a biology teacher, but I'm like, if you just had that kind of like Gregory Peckness, like, Scout, now we have to do this. And I'm like, oh, it would have been so great. But anyway,
hey, guys. Out of the way, Peck.
Out of the way. Hey everyone, welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me as always is the
Betsy DeVos to your Donald Trump.
Wrong. No, he doesn't even do that anymore.
China.
He just kind of like hides in his office all day and reads Breitbart.
It's true.
That man is falling apart.
It's hilarious.
Now he's taking away all of our health insurance.
Not mine.
Well, yeah, not mine either, but who knows? It could be coming.
Most Trump supporters are going to lose their health care, which, I mean, hey, seems okay to me.
Well, I don't like health insurance. I find it a form of gambling.
It is gambling.
So just some
Also, I mean, it's really funny that people don't understand like the very basic things of the reason the premiums went up is because not enough people enrolled into the healthcare system, not because the healthcare system itself was a failure.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, understanding economics is hard. Just blame the other side.
Understanding economics is hard. Wait, this isn't the microeconomics they taught me in school. Of course not. It's not microeconomics. Actually, that is macroeconomics, but
trickle down healthcare.
If you don't get sick, you don't need healthcare.
Hey, the wealthy are going to get so healthy that health is going to trickle down to the poor.
All right. It's early. It's also the eve of the big St. Patrick's Day celebrations over in the Chicagoland. Everyone's doing all the parades and everything.
I don't care about St. Patrick's Day. I don't get a day off work, so fuck it.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah,
it's like any day that's special. If there's no holiday, fuck it. I don't care.
I'm excited. It's corned beef day. It's the only day my wife like actually lets me eat corned beef.
I wouldn't eat corned beef.
I love corned beef.
I can't. I think it's too sweet right now.
You think it's too? Oh, I could see that.
There's some corned beef that's not. See, that's the thing. It's a gamble. I need like some is not sweet, and that's good. Some is sweet, and that's not good.
I love corned beef. I'll eat corned beef sandwiches all the time.
Well, I might. That's the problem I got.
I would, but my wife is like, no, you don't get to eat corned beef. I'm like, why not? And she's like,
you're an adult. You should just buy some corned beef and eat it.
Well, I don't buy my own food. My wife buys my food.
Maybe you should buy your own food.
Bah! It's too much. It's too much. No, thank you. No, I enjoy it. We're going out to the Downers Grove today to... That's why we're recording early, because we're going to like a St. Patrick's Day thing down in Downers Grove.
I'm gonna have some boar burgers.
Some boar burgers. Mm-hmm. I like boar. Mm-hmm. Boar's pretty good. I keep on telling people, some of the guys in my gaming group, the more militant ones, they go boar hunting in Texas on helicopters with assault rifles.
That's fucking stupid.
Whatever. I'm like, you bring it to me. I'll cut it up for you. I'll make all this stuff. And they're always like, no. I guess it's a thing, though. It's it costs like too much money for the carcass in and of itself than to like have me cut it up. So like, I don't know. Who knows? Whatever. It's dumb.
Yes.
I would like it, but whatever. Some gaming stuff. I'm sorry. I'm operating on like no sleep. It's also daylight savings time, and I have an infant.
I've had plenty of sleep. And I have not touched any tabletop game in months.
Yeah, well, so we are we're coming off the Games Plus auction, the spring auction, which is generally a better auction, I suppose. The fall auction is always seems to be a buyer's auction, and the spring auction generally tends to be a seller's auction. I put in in the fall auction, I put in a ton of stuff, like mm-hmm. I don't know, 2 pages worth, you know, so like.
60 items.
Yeah, about 60 items. And I made about the same that I made on this auction, except this auction I only put in like 25 items.
Nice.
So it's pretty ridiculous, including the traditional big bag of bases that I don't need anymore.
Yes, but is that giant terrain piece that's still floating around the cursed
oh, the pit?
The cursed
I didn't
pit.
See the pit this time, so who knows? That pit may be actually used, or it could have just been someone's like,
or maybe someone finally broke it.
He broke it in half, and like the big ghost come out like, ooh.
Or it's like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's it just melts. Yeah. Don't look directly at it.
Don't look into the maw. Don't look into the maw. Dun, 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 dun. All the ghosts swirling around.
Yes.
Yeah. Perfection. No, I didn't see that one there. Just some interesting stuff. Some stuff that I noted when I went to the auction. On RPG Day, actually, I think I spent more time on RPG Day than I actually did on Mini Day for some odd reason. Mainly because Mini Day, I walked in there and it was like, around 10 o'clock after, like, when they just start the auction, I was looking around, and I'm like, I want this, this, and this. Take this up to the front so I may bid on it. they were like, okay. So they did that, and I was like, I'm out of there by noon, so I'm done with that. But the RPG day was actually pretty interesting. So one thing that I did notice, ton of GURPS being dropped. And it wasn't, like, one seller. It was, like, multiple sellers selling GURPS.
I'm surprised anyone bought it.
Well, it did, and it actually went they were selling it in lots, and, like, people love lots, so they were
well,
buying that
GURPS
up.
Was huge. Like, when GURPS came out, GURPS had a shot, at taking over, at being the number one.
Not giving away my
Believe it or not, it was outselling D&D. GURPS was number one, which pretty much never happens. The last time that happened was the Pathfinder versus 4th edition thing. But GURPS was huge.
Pathfinder versus 4th edition. You just mean Pathfinder, right?
But various circumstances netted it unable to finish the task at hand, so it was eventually fell by the wayside. And now GURPS is kind of an obscure game that only people who kind of played it in the late 80s, early 90s, like, still play.
I just found it funny because the same thing is happening over at, like, you go to the used bookstores, like Half Price Books or Second Charles or any of the ones around here. I've been finding more GURPS than I've ever seen in the last, like, 4 or 5 years of collecting.
I mean, there's no new edition coming out or anything.
Well, I know.
Maybe everyone's getting ready for Starfinder.
So is that what it is? Everyone's getting ready for Starfinder?
Maybe everyone's getting ready for Starfinder.
They're like, I need to clear off room on my
shelf. Super tempted to, like, go all in and, like, get all the Starfinder stuff.
Well, you got Star Trek coming up.
But I was just like, I don't even think I'm going to get that.
No,
I was looking at it, I don't even use what I have. Fuck it. I'm just going to stay with Lamentations. I'm just going to keep buying Lamentations books and not get any other RPG.
Well, Lamentations is cool. I mean,
the thing I like about Lamentations is it's limited. So, like, if I dump a bunch of money on Lamentations books and, like, put them on my shelf, I never feel bad about that because this shit's gone. Like, you want Blood and Chocolate? Can't have it. Sorry. Like, it's fucking gone. So, like,
Sex and Candy.
They don't have a sex candy. They have Fuck for Satan.
Oh.
I have Fuck for Satan.
Well,
would you care to read Fuck for Satan?
No, thank you. That just sounds a little much.
It's awesome. It's really good. It's actually an amazing book. It's so, like, there's a lot of tongue in cheekness in some of the stuff he writes.
Yeah,
and Fuck for Satan is one of them. Because, like, example, there was their first free RPG day book was Better Than Any Man, one of the best RPG supplements ever written. Flat, like, I will challenge anyone to come up with a better one. It has everything you want. It's got an amazing story.
What about Elminster's Ecology?
It's much better than that. Amazing story, amazing characters. One of the best RPG supplements ever written. And one of, like, there was, like, a bunch of people complaining about Better Than Any Man, saying that it was, like, basically, like, porn, and there was, like, nothing but child killing. There's no kid in the entirety of Better Than Any Man. Like, that's a complete falsehood. Like, there's not a single child in NPC in that fucking supplement. So the dude who wrote it was like, that's pretty weird, but all right. So the next year's free RPG day is called the Cave of the Crystal-Headed Children, which is 100% killing children.
Yeah,
that's all it is. The enemies in it are kids.
Well, as long as they're consistent in what they're doing,
it's pretty awesome.
That's cool. I didn't see any Lamentations, but I didn't expect. I don't usually expect to see that.
I've never seen anyone get rid of their Lamentations stuff.
Yeah. There was some Cthulhu stuff there that I was kind of excited about.
Well, the 7th edition's out now, so yeah. I could see people getting rid of older stuff.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen in 7th edition, not too different from previous editions.
Well, so. I guess they would be getting rid of stuff from 5th, because if I remember correctly, 7th edition is fully compatible with 6th.
Yeah.
There's only, like, some minor tweaks, and, like, they changed a little bit of the engine, but all your books and supplements should still work, because, like, the core is the same.
Yeah, I ended up picking up Gotham Cthulhu by Gaslight.
It's a good book.
Yeah, very cool book. And I paid a lot more than I kind of want to pay for a Cthulhu book. But people, like, there was a one set of...
People don't fuck around with those Cthulhu books.
No, they don't. Like, there was one set that ended up going for, like, $150, and it was, like, 8 books, and I was just like, holy shit. And it was, like, they were all 5th edition stuff.
That's a good
so,
deal.
Yeah. And there was another one that I didn't even stay for because it was bigger. It was, like, 12 books, and I'm like, this is going to go for a lot of money, and I don't want to pay that much money for this stuff. I don't need it. I don't want to pay that much.
Yeah,
for
that's
it.
that's the struggle I'm going through right now. Just like I like, there's something I'm like, every time I'm about to buy it, I'm just like, I don't actually need this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like that too. My thing is though, is that if I see it for the right price, I'm going to buy it.
That's the thing. It doesn't even matter if the right price or not. I have to bust my like no more game hoarding. Like,
oh,
no more game hoarding.
Guess what I got rid of.
Your Empire army.
No, I'm not getting rid of my Empire.
Well, not your army. Your new inbox Empire stuff.
No, I did get rid of some new inbox Skaven stuff that I had. Because I was just like, I don't want to paint Skaven anymore. And that ended up going for like a decent amount. It was like a Screaming Bell that I had inbox, because I already have a Screaming Bell, and I'm like, I don't well, I'm not going to do anything with this. Mm-hmm. So I put it up there, and it went for like $35. I'm like, you got to be shitting me.
People want the screaming bell. Was it metal?
No, it was plastic.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the plastic one itself only goes for like, what, $50?
I think it's like 56.
Yeah, something like that. But I was like, Jesus Christ, people. No, but I got rid of some new inbox confrontation stuff that I had.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The man who said he would never get rid of his confrontation.
I got rid of 3 boxes of stuff that I already had loose. So I was like, I don't need this. And they're like unique figures, like hero figures. So I'm like, there's no reason for me to have these extra copies of this. I'm going to get rid of it.
I got to say, those minis are still awesome.
They
like
really
they
are
still really. I don't think they're. I still believe that there is not a minis company out there that is competing with the old Rackham stuff.
I will say.
Not counting GW, because GW has their own thing. Like the new GW stuff's really, really, really good. But it doesn't have that, like, the style of the confrontation.
I don't think that there's a company who puts out a game with figures that are as consistently good as the confrontation stuff. Because you can get a lot of boutique stuff that looks really nice. I mean,
right.
Lamentations, not Lamentations.
Kingdom Death.
Kingdom Death is a really good example of that.
Yes.
Where it's like, this is really nice stuff and this is all great, but it's not like an army game.
Right.
And it's, not...
and it's consistent down the line. Like, it's as consistent. That's the thing. Confrontation minis always had that consistency.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, every army had great looking figures.
Too bad
the game was miserable. Like, everything else about it was really cool.
Yeah,
that was confrontation. The game is bad. Everything else about it, really cool.
It was you know, confrontation, I wouldn't say is miserable. Confrontation on the surface, like if you get like 2 feet down into confrontation, you're like, okay, this game's good. This game's playable. It's fun. Then once you break that 2-foot level and you start getting a little deeper into
it,
you're like, oh, this doesn't make any sense. And then you get down an extra 2 feet, and you're like, what the hell is Ragnar? Oh, no!
Because their designs are great. They're chaos dwarves, the evil dwarves they have, like the whole chess piece aesthetic they had going on. Amazing. Like, super fucking cool.
Yeah.
So we'll see if the new edition
you know what,
is
though?
A thing.
Remember when they wanted to do the Phoenix edition? Like, I think it was Cool Mini or Not was trying to do the Phoenix edition.
And well, whatever it was, it didn't raise any money. This one has the money and is being made now, I guess.
I guess. Yeah, that Phoenix edition stuff was... The Cool Mini or Not, they put out the resins of older confrontation figures and charged massive amounts of money for them.
And people bought them.
Did they really? Because whenever I saw them,
they all sold out, as far as I know.
I always would see them, and I'd be like, they'd be at game stores, and they'd just be like sitting there trying to be discounted. And it's like, oh, I want to buy 6 figures for $80. No, thank you.
People don't make those kind of purchases in person. They always buy them online.
I guess. Yeah, that must be right.
You have to figure, because like... Kingdom Death, I'll just use that. Well, we've been beating that horse. He made a joke pledge of like $6,666 or something.
Yeah.
And it kept selling out. Like, it was a joke pledge. And people were just like, oh, I'm buying that. No one's going to walk into a game store and drop $7,000.
Well, people will, but it's very rare.
And not in one shot.
No.
Well, except for those meth dealers who were buying Forge World. Those guys would.
The meth dealers buying Forge World. I remember there was a guy who'd come in for Games Workshop stuff, and he'd always buy stuff. And then he would, like, he'd pay by credit, and then it would always be, like, random purchases. And I'd be like, what the hell is this guy doing? He was, like, I don't know what nationality he was, but he was definitely foreign, because he didn't really speak English that
Maybe
well.
Maybe it was a Russian Golden Demon factory.
It could be, but he was buying stuff, and then one day his credit card was declined. I'm like, dude, it's not going through. And he's like, oh, okay, and he takes his card and just leaves. And I'm like, what the hell? He was coming in like every other day buying at least like $300 worth of stuff randomly. I don't know what that was all about.
Got me.
Yeah. But the Kingdom Death stuff, it reminds me, as long as we're on it, I was talking with one of the guys at the store because we were talking about Kickstarter stuff. Like at the miniatures day, there was a couple people who were selling full Kickstarter, you know, things that they had bought. One of them was the old Relic Knights one, and he wanted like the price of the Relic Knights Kickstarter, and I was like oh, that's
sorry, nice. Sir, you were one of the Kickstarters that flopped.
It didn't flop, it did incredibly well.
The aftermarket flop.
Yeah, the aftermarket flop. I was just like, oh,
it's just like Wrath of Kings. Like Wrath of Kings was so successful and so generous on the Kickstarter, like there's no value in reselling your Wrath of Kings.
Yeah. However, the new panda elephant guys look really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw those.
I did, but I've sold my Wrath King stuff.
It was very cool. But the, they were selling it, and I was talking with the guy, and I'm just like, you know, they have these Kickstarters that come out, and you're just kind of like, okay, but as a, exactly what you said, it's like they're so generous with everything that they give that it's, you know, unless you really, really have a have like a something that we talked about on the podcast before, like a community around playing these games, it's like, right. What's the point?
Yeah, unless you're selling maybe top museum quality painted.
Oh, then that's, yeah, that's different.
I you know what? I think I could have gotten more for my kingdom or my Wrath of Kings army
if I
would have put them as top museum quality. Yeah. I really fucked up.
Yeah. But they had like the Relic Knights one, and I think there was one or two other ones. That it's just like they're not going to sell because people A, either already have it, or B, they're not going to pay that because
no,
the prices drop isn't so much,
and no one's playing it.
Yeah,
the thing, like, if it's still like the, I would say that at this point, it's like it's even more so. Like, if you're not playing GW, like you're not playing a minis game.
Yeah,
there's still some PIP around, but PIP is a fucking ghost compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, well, and this is what I was telling him. I was like, the only Kickstarter I know whose secondary market has dramatically increased is Kingdom Death.
Yeah,
that's the only one where it's like, how much was the initial buy-in for it?
Like $200 some dollars.
Like $200, and was selling for like $1,500.
Yeah,
you know,
huge amounts of money.
And I said the main reason for that was that people were buying it, and those people who held their pledges for the 3 years or however long it took, like it was like 2 years,
yeah,
probably.
It was a long time.
Yeah. Those are the ones who actually got it and it paid out at that point.
Yep. And by all accounts, the game's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's really good. That's the thing. There's the new trend of these amazing games coming out and not being available, like Gloomhaven. I don't know if you are familiar with that.
I've heard that. I haven't, like...
Gloomhaven's going for, like, $300 or $400 easy now, and it's $120 MSRP.
Yeah.
And
that's,
it's
kind of expensive.
The 120 mark is now the new... is now the new big game. Dark Souls is 120. Gloomhaven is 120.
Is Gloomhaven like a minis, or is it just like a board game?
There are minis in it, but it's still just a board game, like Blood Rage.
Okay.
Blood Rage
is 80. It's like Blood Rage. Okay.
But Blood Rage is 80. Is the MSRP standard of board games is going up because the quality and the content is going up as well.
It's like, that Fantasy Flight, like, give them more
you
stuff.
You can't get Gloomhaven unless you're buying it online for $300. You just can't get it because it was so cut, like the amount of product needed, just ridiculous. Yeah.
So they put like a low order on it.
Fuck, terrible. Like less than 8%.
Less than 8%.
So yeah, it's bad. Yeah. And then you have like Scythe. The initial launch for Scythe was just like that. Now some Scythe is coming back, but still Scythe is sold out again. Can't get it anywhere. Terraforming Mars is the same way.
I loved the booth for Scythe over at Gen Con, where it was just a table,
sign that said Scythe.
A sign that says Scythe and the game, and it was still like packed.
Yeah, you can't, like, these games, like the manufacturers can't keep up with the demand. They just can't. And I don't know why, but I'm thinking, my personal theory is it's money. It's, they go, I can sell 40,000 copies of Scythe. I have enough money to print 4,000 copies of Scythe. So I spend all my money to print my 4,000 copies of Scythe. I sell it. The market still wanted 40,000 units. Like, that's my guess, is that they actually do not have the capital to print enough to meet demand. Because I imagine you need to pay for it right away to get it printed in China, send it over here.
Probably.
In China.
It's probably like, okay, I have enough to print 4,000 copies. I print out my 4,000 copies. 4,000 copies sell. Then I can get the capital to make 8,000 copies. Make 8,000 copies, and you could sell that. And then you kind of do that until you can get kind of a bit of a homeostasis where you can turn a profit, sort of thing. But the couple interesting things about the board games with that is that, one, there is a peak where you're not going to be able to drum up more demand for the game. So, for example, let's just use Scythe because we're already talking about it. Let's say 40,000 people want Scythe. So let's say you put out the 40,000 copies of Scythe. Now, let's say 5 years down the road, let's say that there's a bunch of people who've discovered Scythe, and let's say there's about, you know, about 1,000 people a year wanting to get Scythe. That's fine, but you're only probably going to sell 500 copies because out of that 40,000 initial that you sell, there's probably going to be people putting it into the secondary market, so 500 people are going to be buying it on the secondary market, so you're not going to be making that much more with it.
Yeah, the drop-off is a lot slower with board games, unless they're cheap. Because like everyone just buys them right away if they're cheap.
Yeah.
If they're a chin scratch price, you'll see less people jump on them right away.
Yeah.
But like Betrayal at House on the Hill still sells tons of copies every year. And that game is $40.
Yeah.
Like, and it sells tons and tons of copies every year.
Well, that's the exact thing. Like, Settlers of Catan is a classic. Tons
of copies every year.
When your basic MSRP is $20, no one cares.
So having, like, but you're seeing that kind of trend continue even with these more expensive games, just because people want them. And
but those, but the thing, I'm gonna put a small thing on what you're saying is, I do agree with you that it is happening. However, the bigger MSRP games is a fairly, at least in like the boom of the board game market, is fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not gonna see the long term stuff. Like Settlers of Catan is, what is it, 100 years old?
It's super old.
It's 1,000 years old. Hammurabi played it.
Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing is people are moving to the next big game. Like that's that. Yeah. Like so Scythe. Scythe is like still good. People still want it. But like the hype is all Gloomhaven now.
Yeah.
Like everyone just wants Gloomhaven. 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 Yeah. That's the, and that's what the big MSRP. The big MSRP trend seems to be like people are hunting the next. They want the next one. Like what's the next Gloomhaven?
Well, and that's why I don't even go to the Games Plus board game auction anymore. I refuse to go to that one anymore.
That'd probably be a nightmare.
It is a nightmare because the family game, because the RPG kind of fantasy sci-fi board game one is combined.
Okay.
But the family board game one, because it's just people buying to resell. That's all it is. Like there's very few people there who are like legit trying to buy the game just to play.
I want the Omega Virus.
I know you want the. I showed you. I think Half Price Books right by you had the Omega Virus for a while.
Yeah, but I want a new in box copy of the Omega Virus.
Well, it is new in box. The box was beat up.
Yeah.
But it's,
no, I want new in box sealed.
Oh, well, then. No, the
you human scum. Fucking loved the Omega Virus when I was a kid.
Well, I mean, like a good example is Super Dungeon Explorer. I was kind of looking to see if they had a couple copies of Super Dungeon Explorer there. Not because, you know, I'm playing Super Dungeon Explorer, but I've just started getting my daughter into playing kind of a version of Dungeons & Dragons that we've kind of scratch-built.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I like using the little chibi miniatures because, A, they're fun for her to see and play with and things like that. And there's a ton of, like, you get all these little, like, dragons and goblins and stuff like that. So they're really good for just throwing out an encounter, right? And I was just looking because I kind of wanted to get some more whatevers, you know, Skelebones or whatever have you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to go there. And, like, those things were selling. Like, that game was still selling for $40 to $50.
Yeah, people want it.
But the thing is that the first edition Super Dungeon Explorer, which is out of print right now, they were selling a couple months ago for, like, $25. Like, the full set. I didn't want it then because my daughter wasn't doing it then. But now, like, that she's kind of getting into it, I was looking for it. I'm like, why the hell is this selling so expensive?
Speaking of Super Dungeon Explorer, Arcadia Quest is coming back with a vengeance. With Arcadia Quest Inferno, there's a huge amount of expansions coming. Yeah.
But are people going to buy it? I know they're coming.
I think so. People like Arcadia
Quest.
What
about Crow's Master?
That game is... That game was huge for a little while, but like they kind of dropped the ball with production and delivering on product.
No, I didn't even follow that one.
Yeah.
But I know Arcadia Quest was coming back for... Oh, I didn't know Arcadia Quest was coming back. I know there's people who played it.
It's coming back
cool
with,
minigame.
With a lot of shit. There's a lot more stuff in it.
God.
So.
Remember the heady days of like when Cool Mini would put out a Kickstarter, and then that company would be like... Screw Cool Mini, they're terrible. Yeah. And so they would like drop them as their distributor, and then they would get the Cool Mini would be like, well, screw you guys, we're gonna make our own copy of your game.
Cool Mini's been killing it lately, man. Like their production quality is great, and the amount of successive board game hits they've been producing have been phenomenal. Like their consistency is great.
People still playing Blood Rage
and Potion Explosion is amazing. Like
I haven't heard that one. I played that one.
Cool Mini I would say like if there was a board game stock market, I would be buying all the Cool Mini stock I could right now.
Stock and Cool Mini's rising. Buy.
That's what I would do because I think Cool Mini is like I think they're on their and The Godfather is trending to be gigantic.
Really?
Dude, it looks fucking amazing. Like, it looks so good. Like,
I just quoted The Godfather
first of
this
all,
morning.
It has an amazing series of figures. Like, the minis are awesome.
It's a mini game?
It's not a minis game.
Okay,
but there are it, like
the
Blood
token
Rage,
piece
just like Blood Rage.
Okay,
you know, Blood Rage is not a minis game, but there's shit tons of miniatures.
Oh my
in
god!
It.
There's a little.
Is it Don Corleone?
Yeah.
There's a little Don Corleone, and like they're not screen accurate. But they're like caricaturish,
kind of like the Ghostbusters game.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But it looks like him. but it's like a little cartoon stylized.
Yeah, that's the Ghostbuster game. Yeah,
amazing, like so fucking amazing. And the game design is a worker placement game, but it's a worker placement game with combat. Ooh. And you there's some sort of gimmick with like hidden money because you have to launder your money in the game.
Huh.
It looks fucking amazing, and it's trending to be a huge success. So The Godfather from Cool Me or Not is gonna be a big one. It's designed by Eric Lang, who's designed like every other game Eric Lang's made has like been a hit. So it's likely that this one will also be a hit.
This morning I was
looks great. So
I was going, Diana, I'm a smart guy. I'm smart, Diana. I'm not stupid like they say. I love that movie. That was Godfather 2, which I don't like as much as Godfather 1.
I've never seen The Godfather.
I've
never seen any of The Godfathers.
I like Godfather. I don't necessarily know if you'll like. I think you would like it because
I love Casino. Casino is my favorite mobster movie.
Yeah. Well, no, this is Godfather is more. It's epic. Let me put it that way. So if you like epic movies, it's very good for that.
Maybe.
Because it's like generation spanning almost.
Okay.
And it's big in its scope. So
the last movie I watched was Ouija Origin of Evil.
It
was actually pretty good. I was kind of surprised.
Did you see Logan yet?
No, I haven't. I want to see Logan. I want to see Get Out. Those are the things I want to see in theater.
I had Get Out spoiled for me, so I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to go see this movie.
I'm going to go see it in theater. Yeah. But Ouija Origin of Evil was interesting because we watched that one first, and I was like, is this a sequel? So I looked, and the first one is like shit on. Like the first Ouija has like a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes like critic score and like a 30% audience score. And I was like, Jesus. And I looked at the second one, and the second one's like 80% critic and like 90% audience. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this one's just actually good. So the movie is it's a retro style kind of like all of the font. It looks like it's out of the 60s and they even put cigarette burns on the corner of the screen. And like they had like some like film effects, and it's a retro style. But it was really good. I was pleasantly surprised.
Like I didn't even know they did a sequel, so I was just thinking it was the first one that they did, and I was like, everyone hated that movie.
Yeah, no, it was actually quite good, and it was really creepy. like I enjoyed it. That was the last movie I watched. I was like, oh, this movie's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think you'd hate The Godfather. I think you would like it. I don't think you'd appreciate it for like the same reasons why a lot of people like all consistently put it as like the best movie of all time sort of thing. But I think you definitely enjoy the story. It's a really solid mobster story.
Okay.
And it's 1920s and sort of thing like that. So, I'm 1940s.
Weird with movies. Like, and like there's certain directors that I just can't stand. Like I can't stand Stanley Kubrick. Every Stanley Kubrick movie I have like massive problems with.
I mean, I've never said, hey, let's sit down and watch a Kubrick movie. With the exception of maybe The Shining. Every once in a while, I'll watch The Shining because I enjoy that movie. I think that movie's fun. But the other none of his other movies, I'm like, I think we should watch Barry Lyndon right now. Let's watch an entire movie that's lit by candlelight. Or 2001 A Space Odyssey. It's like, I got 4 hours to kill. Let me watch a movie about monkeys.
I think 2001 is a good example of like my biggest gripe with him is like the inconsistency of Kubrick films is like a fucking irking, like serious, like sticking point for me. Like Full Metal Jacket is a great example. Everything in that movie until you get out of boot camp is amazing.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
You don't like the North of England disguised as Vietnam?
Everything about that movie until you get out of boot camp is a tour de force. A fantastic film. If it ended it after boot camp, would have been an amazing movie. And then
I think most people will agree with you that when they actually get to Vietnam, with a few exceptions in that like act that are pretty good, but the rest is just pretty awful.
2001, great example. The sequence with Hal, one of the best sci-fi sequences ever done.
Yeah.
Everything else in that movie is bad. Well, everything else
you don't
is
like
bad.
The monkeys?
Everything else in that movie is just bad. Like actually bad, so boring. But the sequence with Hal, incredible.
I think I let's look at it through a red pill perspective of the monkey sequence.
Okay.
All the monkeys fighting each other represents the dumbness of America. But it's the one monkey touching the monolith. He takes the red pill, so he becomes smart.
The fedora grows out of his head. He's got a flame button down shirt, a button down shirt with fire on it, and he's like, "Mom, I need the tendies."
They're like, "My monkey,
my monkey. I'm looking for my tendies."
No, it's
and The Shining. I think as well. Like The Shining has great sequences. Like the there's like there they're smaller in The Shining, but like when the camera is following the kid on the tricycle, and it's just following him over the shoulder, and he's going through the hallways, and then he turns, and there's the two girls at the end of the hallway. Yeah. That's brilliant. Like, amazing scene. Like, wow. That's really well done.
I think that if you actually, like, watching The Shining, if you don't try and look at it through too much of a, like, critic's lens, it's actually a pretty fun, well-done, suspenseful movie. However, like, when you start dissecting that movie, it kind of falls apart.
It's inconsistent. Yeah. But I think that goes to the power of good scenes, because his good scenes are so good, people are just like, what a great director.
Doctor Strangelove.
I don't like Doctor Strangelove.
You don't like Doctor Strange?
I didn't like it when I was a kid, and I don't really like it now. there's like
2 chocolate bars, 3 prophylactics.
Yeah, I never really clicked with that movie.
Yeah, the first time I watched it was in like a U.S. history class when we were talking about the Cold War.
I also watched it in a U.S. history class.
It was like I fell in love with that movie when. Yeah, what about Spartacus?
I love you, Spartacus.
He directed Spartacus?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No shit. All right. Spartacus is a good movie.
Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange is, again, a movie that has great sequences, but overall as a film, I'm not a fan.
I'm not a big fan of Clockwork Orange.
But like the AI, the part where he's walking. I thought Steven Spielberg directed AI.
He did, but it was like with Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, okay. The part in Clockwork Orange where they're walking down the street slow motion and he just starts beating the shit out of his droogs, that cracks me up like a lot. Like, I think that's really funny. Like, just fucking nails the one in the fucking, and then he kills the lady with the big dick. Like, there's some parts in that movie that are like, hey.
And did he really direct
Spartacus?
Yeah. Paths of Glory.
All right. Spartacus, if I remember, I'm thinking of Ben-Hur.
Not direct Ben-Hur.
I don't think I've seen Spartacus.
Kirk Douglas. I'm Spartacus.
Maybe I have. I think I watched both of those movies in a double feature, so they've kind of like squished together.
Both movies are pretty good. I like Ben Hur.
Yeah, I mean Gladiator films are sweet.
You truly are the king of kings.
You truly are the king of kings, Mr. Burns.
Senior Spielbergo.
But Senor Schindler as Bueno, Senor Burns as El Diablo.
And then
we both made shells for the Germans, but mine worked, damn it.
Then the Eyes Wide Shut, which is a terrible movie.
Yeah, movie's bad.
Yeah, it was not his best.
I'll give Spartacus a full pass though, because I remember that movie being pretty sweet. And I love Gladiator movies.
Movie, yeah. Well, who doesn't?
I don't know, weirdos.
Weirdos.
Every time I see anything with a gladiator, I'm just like, man, I really got my Arena Rex. I gotta get my Arena Rex shit done.
I bring my son over. Come on, Joey, we're gonna watch some Spartacus. I'm gonna teach you about being a man.
You truly are the king.
That's Ben Hur.
Doesn't matter.
What else happened with the auction stuff? Oh yeah. Well, there was something that was going for a shit ton of money, and I can't think of it right now. It just every time it came up. Historical stuff was going for a shit ton of money, which is relatively unusual. And it wasn't for like Bolt Action or something or Flames of War. It was just like random historical stuff going for a ton of money. And I was shocked by it. Oh, Franco-Prussian War stuff. That's what it was. And I was like laughing at it because I was kept on thinking of you. Like,
that's awesome. The most charming war in history.
The most charming war in history. I was like, I can't believe that this Franco-Prussian war stuff is going for some. I think it was because it was painted, but it didn't look like that well painted to me, at least. But I just thought it was.
I have found the Games Plus quality evaluation of painting is suspect.
You know what though? In my own opinion, from like seeing the stuff that's painted at the auction and seeing like people's stuff that they play at Games Plus. Now this is no. You slam on the people who play games at Games Plus. You paint to your heart desire. As long as you're happy with your figures, I'm fine with it at this point. Just don't try and tell me that it's top museum quality, mind you.
Or maybe it is top museum quality.
Like, if you just paint your figures to play and that's what you want, I'm like, cool. That's what you. But the moment you start saying, like, my figures are top museum quality, that's when I start having an issue with it. All of the stuff that they sell that's painted and they say is pretty well painted, it's well painted to that store. Hell, any store in Chicagoland, most of the stuff that I see painted at stores is pretty ass.
I'd agree with that. That's why whenever I'm playing with my stuff, I'm always just like, people are always just like, wow, it's so good. And I'm just like, well, it's much better than you.
You. Than your stuff.
But, yeah, I've played against people who have good... Although, to be fair, I played a lot of Warhammer for a really long time, and I've only played against...
One painted army.
No. Like, well, no. Like, there's like a... There's only a handful of people out there who actually paint, like... There's like a... Okay, there's like a gradient of like painting armies, and like I would say I am a, like, if I'm gonna give myself a score out of 10, I would say I'm a 6/7 out of 10. That's where I put myself. Most people, I would put it a 2/3.
A 2/3?
I'm sorry, a 2/3 out of 10.
Okay. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, no, 2/3 out of 10 is most people.
Yeah.
I put myself at the 6/7 mark, like 6.5. So with 5 being like block coloring, like everything is clean and block colored. That's 5. So getting higher than that, you need to have some sort of shading, some highlighting, you know, some work being done into it.
Yeah.
But that past me, like a step above my painting, the amount of people who do that are really rare. Like, I can think of, like, at a Warhammer tournament, you'll see maybe, if there's 50 guys there, there'll be maybe 4 who are at the level above my, like, 6.5. Like, yeah. Because it just, the biggest thing is, it's just fucking time. Like, spending that much time on your army.
Warhammer, yes, especially.
Right. That's like, holy shit. Like, that's a fucking ridiculous. Like, there was a dude at the bunker who had a Beastman army that was, like, 8/10 easy, and like it was like you could have put any one of his units into Golden Demon unit entry and probably got him bronze, and it like but that amount of time is unreal.
Well, you think about, like, okay, so let's, at least in my perspective, I've in the last year I've painted 3 bolt action armies. None of those armies have had above 70 figures. Like 70 individual figures. I'm talking like...
Yeah, see, that's a huge difference, too. Yeah. Like, that's one unit in Warhammer.
That's what I'm going to say. Yeah, it's like, that's like a goblin unit in fantasy now.
Right.
So it's like, that's the entire army is 70 figures as opposed to Warhammer, which
is... Yeah, I am speaking strictly Warhammer, like not talking about any other game.
And I think that's why I keep like Warhammer in such high regard, as like, when you put together a Warhammer army and you have a fully painted Warhammer army, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, and you got to give that person credit for it. I mean, even at this point, the fully painted Empire army that I did have back in the day at the bunker, I sold because I went through it so quickly just to get it fully painted that I look at it and I went, ew. So, like, I do have a lot of fantasy stuff that's painted now, but it's about enough to make a full army, like a full 6th edition army, not 8th edition. No, not 8th edition at all. All right.
So I mean, I love seeing painted armies. Period. And that's not a slam on anyone. Like, and like, if your army is a 2/3 or 2/3, 2.5 out of 10, it's still better than someone whose army is not painted.
Yeah.
Period. Like, it's still better than someone whose army is not painted.
There was an army that made me laugh so hard at the auction. He was like, it's a fully painted
top museum quality army.
No, but it was. God, it was something ridiculous. Oh, was it Relic Knights? Or it was something like one of those games that's kind of like petered out.
Oh,
I think
it was Relic Knights.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was Dystopian Wars. That's what it was. Not Jesus. Legions, Dystopian Wars. And the guy was like, it's a fully painted Prussian Dystopian Wars army. Blah, 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 all the way, all this stuff. And he says, $250. And I just went, pa! You could just hear me. I was like the only one who was like laughing in the background. Yeah, that was kind of on the silly side. All right, so that's, I think that's about it. You know what was like one of the big things that sold at the auction? It was a Spanish Civil War army that was sold from Empress Miniatures. Really nice stuff, Bob Merch sculpts. Very pretty paint. It was a pretty decent paint job. I'd put it at about like a 7/10. Maybe like an 8, like if I was being generous. And it was like 50 figures, like a tank and a couple like airplanes and stuff like that.
All right.
Ended up going for like $300.
The Spanish had a civil war with airplanes?
Yeah. It was in between the World War I and World War II.
Oh, dude, my history is not.
That's what I was saying. I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, my history is not there. I didn't have a problem with history, but I never really like got into it, other than like the big stuff, like, you know, World War I, II. Yeah. And then like I've always been more interested in like weird, like esoteric history, like old shit, like stuff where like a lot of it's speculation, where they're like, well, we think that they did this.
We think there was a Kraken, but we're not 100%
sure.
Yeah,
we're not actually sure. There might have been a Kraken. Yeah, I like that. That's the kind of history I like. Plus, I mean, I like, you know, feudal stuff like swords, and like I think it's very interesting to see, like, perfect example. I think it's super interesting to see cultures that have been, that are essentially galaxies apart, grow in like weird parallels, like feudal Japan and feudal Europe.
Yeah,
like they have no interaction with one another, and like their societal structures like fall into like the same category, where there's like, you know, it's like, yep, there's one dude who's got a whole bunch of like goons underneath him, like, and then like they have the same kind of like, they call it different things, but it's just like he's a king, he's a duke, it's the same difference, like he's a shogun, you know. I think that's really interesting, and I think it goes to there's someone who was talking about parallel thought and how humans are not as creative as we like to think we are, and like most of human societal evolution is actually just like everyone's like slightly different interpretations of the same thing. For example, dragons, European dragons are giant lizard creatures that fly and breathe fire, and Oriental dragons are giant lizard creatures that fly and like have magical breath. Like they had no contact with one another, but they both came up with the same mythological thing. And just because people are just not that creative.
No, they're not. Speaking of feudal Japan, the Rising Sun Kickstarter.
Oh yeah, from Cool Mini. Speak of the devil, that game actually looks badass.
You like it?
Yeah, it looks cool. It's Blood Rage. It's Asian Blood Rage.
Is it Blood Rage?
It would be Blood Rage.
Blood Rage.
Blood Rage.
Yeah, it's Asian Blood Rage.
You know what's really funny? I'm learning Japanese, and one of the things that's really hilarious about Japanese is they use katakana a lot, which is for borrowed words.
Yeah.
So one of their alphabets is called katakana, and anything written in katakana is not an original Japanese word. So banana is written in katakana, and it's banana. Like, that's how you say it, and that's how it's written. It's B-A-N-A-N-A, banana.
Yeah.
But there's a very important thing, like, you have to pronounce the katakana how it's written, or they won't understand what you're saying. So, like, it's like, it almost feels kind of like a parody racism thing, because, like, if you want to order milk tea...
Yeah.
If you go up to a Japanese person at a coffee shop and you order a milk tea and you say, can I have a milk tea, please? He has no idea what the fuck. He'll just be like, what? But if you order a miruku tea, he'll give you a milk tea. Because you have to say the word, because like, that's exactly how it is. So like bread is pang, like, like melon pang. Like you have to say that. And that's a Spanish word. But yeah, all of that, like beer. Like beer in Japanese is bia.
Beer.
Beer. Yeah. So and cookie is cookie. Ice cream is ice cream.
There you go.
So yeah, I've been enjoying that.
Wow, I can't wait to see your samurai sword, your katana.
I'm not a katana guy. Unfortunately,
can't wait to see you with your katana and maybe a daisho or whatever those things are called.
Not a wakizashi.
Wakizashi. Yeah. What are the two of them called?
That's the katana and wakizashi.
I know, but what is that? Is it a daisho?
I don't know what they're called together.
Okay.
I think a daisho is something else.
I don't know.
I'd have to look.
Maybe you'll be one of those guys with like the two naginatas over the door.
Naginata is a woman's weapon.
Oh, is it? Oh, interesting. Yeah, Blood Rage. Blood Rage. Rising Sun. It does look like the minis are really pretty, and I think it is.
It's the daisho. It's big little, and it is it's a Japanese term for a pair of match swords, which is worn by the samurai class in feudal Japan.
You know how I know that, Steve?
The Daisho.
No. Clan War.
Clan War? That's awesome.
That's the only... one thing I hate about like when they do these Kickstarters...
Katana Wakizashi. And it's not that, and that's not the only Daisho combination.
Ooh.
Yeah,
God, look at this dragon.
Generally, any longer sword paired with a Tanto, which is dagger, is considered to be a Daisho. That's fucking cool.
That dragon is badass, yeah, the river dragon.
Those minis are sweet.
Yeah. The... Yeah, I don't think I'd back it though. I think I'd like the Blood Rage better than I would like the Rising Sun. I just have too many samurai figures at home.
I'm out of the Kickstarter game. Like, I ain't backing any of that shit.
Yeah, and I like that they. Of course, they call it, because it's an Asian Kickstarter or a Japanese Kickstarter, it's the Daimyo pledge. Like, it's not awesome. Like the, and it's the only pledge that they have. Well, actually, I think they have like a retailer pledge too. But it's so funny that it's like, oh no, this is the Daimyo pledge. Now, I think am I pronouncing that correctly?
I want to pledge the Shogun.
Yeah, like where's my Gaijin pledge? Where's my white guy who doesn't understand any of this nonsense pledge?
That's good.
I've been thinking about reading the Clavel series that King Rat and, you know, Shogun. You ever read those?
I have not.
Seems interesting from like, it's like an early, you know, 50s and 60s white guy trying to understand Japanese culture type situation.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, I got that Sherlock Holmes game from you, and I was looking through it, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. What's it called? It's
Sherlock Holmes Jack the Ripper.
And Jack the Ripper. I haven't played it yet, but I was like,
play it by yourself.
I don't want to play by myself.
I mean, do you want to test your mettle against Sherlock Holmes personally? You should.
Please. Destroy Sherlock.
I don't think you will. I think you'll be defeated.
No, because every time like Sherlock Holmes will come up with something, I'll be like, that's not science. That's phrenology.
I don't know if you got deep into it. Well, you probably spoil it, but the way that game works is it gives you all of the resources.
Yeah.
But at the end, you score yourself against Sherlock. And it says how he, like what he did. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah. But because of that, I was looking through it and I was like, man, I really want to. I should really try reading Sherlock Holmes again, because the last time I tried, I gave up because I couldn't get through the prose. I was like, oh, this is terrible.
I like the Sherlock Holmes radio plays.
Well, so what I did was I looked on Audible, which is I use for a lot of my audiobooks, and they have Stephen, not Merchant. It's Stephen Fry reading all of the Sherlock Holmes, the entire Sherlock Holmes catalog.
Nice.
60 odd hours of every Sherlock Holmes story.
Nice.
So I got that because
Stephen Fry has a good enough voice to listen to for 60 hours.
I'm getting through I just got through Studying Scarlet, which is the first one. Mm. And I was like, he actually does a really good job of Sherlock Holmes. His Sherlock Holmes is pretty entertaining, and as opposed to Basil Rathbone or whoever else is doing it at the time, way more enjoyable than
Benedict Cumberbund.
Yeah, which I love Sherlock. Don't get me wrong, but it's a little better than that.
Well, I mean, Sherlock is very cool for what it is, but it's like a weird.
It's not Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, it's like weird Sherlock Holmes. It's like inspired by Sherlock Holmes.
Well, and the thing
it's very good though.
I've never actually read Study in Scarlet. I've read like the Red-Headed League or and the Hound of the Baskervilles and stuff like that.
Have you read A Study in Emerald?
Yes, I have read A Study in Emerald.
Isn't that Sherlock Holmes versus Cthulhu?
Yeah, that's Moriarty versus Cthulhu.
Ah.
Because Moriarty is the Sherlock Holmes and Sherlock Holmes is the Moriarty in that story. Spoilers, everybody. I'm sorry.
There you go.
But it's just Neil Gaiman masturbating all over Arthur Conan Doyle. that is a bad thing. It's actually very good, but they made a board game out of it.
Yep, the board game is hot as fuck. You can't get it. You can't find it anywhere.
Oh, really?
Right now. Yeah, it's super hot. It's really good. So,
Of course it is. It's Cthulhu. Everyone.
That's not accurate. There's a lot of Cthulhu content, but a hot Cthulhu game is rare. The two hot Cthulhu games right now are the Arkham Horror LCG, which is fucking fire, and A Study in Emerald.
Really? Oh, there you go. Well, and any 5th edition Call of Cthulhu RPGs, apparently.
And Mansions of Madness. Mansions of Madness is one of the best-selling games of 2016. So.
Oh, there you go. But what was I going to say? Oh, one of the things I really liked is that... So I rewatched Sherlock Study in Pink, and then after reading Study in Scarlet, or listening to Study in Scarlet, and I find it really funny that he... Like, there's the whole thing in Study in Pink, I don't know if you remember watching it, but the victim writes out R-A-C-H-E, and the detective is like, it's German for revenge, it's Rache, German for revenge, and he's like... And Sherlock's like, no, it's just Rachel, he's just trying to write that out. And in Study in Scarlet, like... They write out R-A-C-H-E, and the detective goes, oh, he was trying to spell Rachel. Rachel's the murderer. And Sherlock Holmes goes, no, it's German for revenge.
That's awesome.
I was like, oh, that's really clever. Good on you, who wrote that. Who does that? The guy who does Doctor Who. Why can't I think of his name? whatever, doesn't matter. But I was like, good on you guys.
Speaking of the BBC, have you been watching Planet Earth 2?
No, I haven't.
You should. It's really good.
I don't like nature documentaries. It makes me feel sad.
I fucking love nature documentaries. They're the coolest.
Nature documentaries just make me feel sad because I'm like, oh, we're ruining all this.
I mean, we're going to use all the resources on this planet. There's no...
Then we're going to move to another planet and use up all of its resources?
Pretty much. I mean, yes! there's no alternative. Like, they're...
Then are we going to get cool exosuits?
Maybe. Maybe we have the exosquad. Make the... what the hell were they? The neotypes? No, not neotypes. Neo-sapiens. Gundam. Neo-sapiens.
Yeah.
That's right. I was like, neotypes? No,
no,
wait.
No, I'm thinking
that's
of like
Gundam.
The aliens from Independence Day.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to have someone say, welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth. No, yeah, no, there's just no, there's no way around it. We're using up all the resources on this planet.
Like, of course.
There's no other possible outcome. So I still like watching nature documentaries because I'm like, yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
No, I even,
weird ass, like, they're weird ass jungle dolphins. It's a fucking, there's dolphins that live in the jungle.
Like, do they swing from trees and stuff?
Yes. Okay. Underwater trees.
Underwater trees.
Yeah, because there's like there's large parts of the jungles that are basically underwater forests. So it's like a fuck ton of trees and then river, and there's dolphins that live there. And they it's the only place in the world that that type of dolphin lives.
What about the Chinese river dolphins?
That's what these are. They're a type of river dolphin, but they're only, I think it's Madagascar.
Where all the lemurs are, according to my children's cartoons.
Yes, that is actually accurate. There's over like 1,000 different species of lemur that are only
in
Madagascar.
Do they like to move it, move it?
They do. They like to move it, move it, because they're losing about 10,000 square feet of their habitat a year.
Well, yeah.
You've got to move it, move it. We're going to take it, take it.
Interesting. No, I've been watching The Expanse. I mean, that's the only thing I've been watching regularly. Just because it's so good. I don't know if you have gotten any further with the first season.
No, I think I finished episode 4. I think that was it.
Okay,
I've been doing other shit.
The second season is about like the whole first book is like the first season and like half the second season, and now they're going into the second book with the second half of the second season and or however many episodes they have left of the second season and probably next season.
There's an Expanse Gale Force 9 board game coming out.
I know. I've heard about that. That's probably going to be terrible. Or
All the Guild Force 9 licensed games are good. Spartacus was good. Sons of Anarchy was good. Star Trek Ascendancy is good. Guild Force 9 doesn't produce bad games.
I don't know. The Sons of Anarchy game looked terrible. What about Firefly?
People love Firefly. It's a very successful game.
I think they only like the license. I don't think they like the game. The game looks so boring.
Hey, man. I never played it. I would never play it.
I'll give you Spartacus. Spartacus was an excellent board game. Just in terms, it's a very much, Spartacus is like the epitome of like a guy board game. Like when, like a board game you could get with like four dudes just sit around and it's like, it's got everything that you want in it.
I think Gale Force 9 has a very good capacity to produce a game that if you are a fan of the license, you will like the game. And I believe that's what, because Firefly can't just be a shit game because it's still selling. People still are looking for Firefly
stuff. I don't know.
So it has to be people who are fans of the license.
Yeah, well, yes.
But if that's the case, then that's mission successful. Because if they make a game that's appealing to people who like the license, I mean, it's not that easy. There's plenty of licensed games that fucking fall flat on their ass. So having the capacity to make a successful licensed game that appeals to people who like your license, that's really all you want to. All you want.
I'll agree with you on that one.
So I would imagine that The Expanse will be good.
Yeah, I hope so.
As you are a fan of The Expanse, you will probably like the board game.
I still think The Expanse needs an RPG, is what they need. That universe is...
Starfinder.
No. That universe in and of itself is so tailor-made. And the guy wrote The Expanse is basically a video game. They came up with the whole thing as a video game. Kind of think like Mass Effect style like that. But it is so perfect for an RPG, and a legit RPG with source books and like old school D&D style.
Talk to Margaret Weiss. That sounds like something that's up her alley.
Margaret Weiss is done though, aren't they? I thought that company folded.
I don't know.
Because I know you can't get Smallville the RPG anymore. Or
what about Leverage?
Leverage the RPG that came up on the auction too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, everyone kind of had a giggle at it because like, who's gonna play Leverage the RPG? Like, even like fans of Leverage, I don't think are gonna play Leverage.
Pretty weird.
Yeah. However, that the alt-right board RPG that I sent you, what was it called?
The Triggering something.
It's something like Rise of the Shitlords.
Yeah,
something like that.
Shitlord the Triggering.
Yeah, everyone, that's what it is. Like the guy reading it was the older guy who works at Games Plus, and he was just like, I don't know. So he just like read it. And I'm like, oh, this looks awful. This looks like the worst piece of shit I've ever seen.
I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it's sold, m'lady.
Are you kidding me? A game store? Dude, that's like the breeding cesspool for the MRA.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
There's infinite trilbies when you go to a game store.
Yeah.
There's a reason almost no women game.
Oh, God. It's...
I mean, right. Well, hang on. There's a reason almost no women game at game stores.
Yeah.
I would. There's lots of women game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'd ever bring my daughter...
I wouldn't. Like,
well, I bring my daughter to game stores. Like, if I'm like, hey, I gotta stop here and get some paint.
I don't like going to game stores, and I'm a fat dude. Like, I look like a generic gamer, and I don't like going to game stores. So, like, I can't imagine what it'd be like to be like, even like moderately attractive woman. Like, Jesus, like just the thirst. Like, the thirst you see like online gaming. Like, when someone figures out that someone's a girl, it's just like, oh my God, like. Fucking awful. Like humanity deserves extinction.
Humanity does deserve extinction. I agree. Anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for planetarbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at planetarbitrary. You can follow Steve at
play on Steve.
Like our Facebook page /gameclassypodcast, where you can see the air horn version of the Duel of the Fates. Did you see that?
No, but that's awesome.
I put it up there.
Oh, also our website is compromised, maybe?
I fixed it.
Okay, very good.
Yeah. It's pretty much on there. You should pull it up because I think you'd appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to find it right now. It's MLG, Duel of the Fates.
Yes. You like our Facebook page. You could also, the best way to help out the podcast, like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also listen to our podcast on YouTube, where you can also like, comment, and subscribe. Hit that like button, Steve. Hit that like button. you can listen to any of our sister podcasts, the Comic Book Logic podcast, where Kevin and I... Steve's losing his shit right now. All right, Steve, all right. I just wanted to give you that.
That's great.
You can listen to Comic Book Logic, which is Kevin and I talking about comic book movies. We're taking a little bit of hiatus while Kevin has his child. So we'll probably be back with some Iron Fist.
No, you're not going to do Logan?
We already did Logan. We did Logan last week.
I heard Logan was really good.
It was good. It was undeservedly good.
All right.
Well, you can't have like two shitty Wolverine movies and then have this amazing third Wolverine movie.
Well, apparently you can.
well, you don't get my accolades when you come up with like that. I'm like, I remember the second Wolverine movie. He fought the Silver Samurai. It was not a good movie. It was better than the first Wolverine movie, but still.
Isn't the first Wolverine movie the one with Deadpool with laser eyes?
Yes. Exactly. It was awful. And you could listen to...
Although it did set up a pretty good joke for the Deadpool movie.
It did. You could listen to Play On Podcast, which is all about the video games and the Nintendo Switch and the Zeldas.
That new Zelda game is fucking great. I'm playing Zeldas. It on the Wii U. It's a really, really good game.
It looks bad. The graphics look bad.
It's really good. Oh, no, it's beautiful. Why
does the graphics look like it's just like blocks of color?
Because I don't know. Like, you should look at the game. The game is beautiful.
Alright. It looks like big pastel blocks to me.
Maybe it doesn't do well in screenshots, but like the game on your television while playing it, it's very pretty.
Alright. I'm pissed off at my PS4 like nobody's business right now.
Oh, what'd you do?
I guess I'm having power supply issues or something like that. It's pissing me off to no end because I just bought this thing. And I had my PS3 for literally, let's see, I bought it in 2007. So I had it for 7 years, not a single problem till recently. And I was like, okay, 7 years is a long time for this. Yeah. I have to replace it. So I replaced it with this PS4. And now after like 4 months, I'm having problems with the PS4. I'm pissed off. But anyway. PlanetArbitrary.com. Oh, video games. Nintendo Switch, blah, blah, blah. And you could also listen to Weebtown, which hopefully Steve will do a second episode.
We have a third episode, actually.
Oh, a third episode.
The second episode's up. The third episode's recorded. I just need to get... I have to equip Pat with the episode on a flash drive.
What, you can't... Why don't you just use Dropbox? Look it up. Look it up.
I mean, I know what Dropbox is, but
okay.
I don't know. I don't really use my Gmail very much.
Okay. Until
I guess I could.
That's how Kevin and I do all of
the
Dropbox stuff.
That's not a bad idea.
Because Kevin edits Comic Book Logic, and so I take the recording and I put it in Dropbox and send it to him that way. It's just easier that way.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
So until next time, Steve.
Game Classy.